important topic, and I want us to have the video of it. So, unless you'd like me to ask you some questions.
Sure.
Okay, Jeff, you're a principal in a school.
Superintendent
of school, excuse me. How does your district feel about this?
Well, that's part of my talk.
sorry, then I'll ask something different. You and your wife have 7 children.
Yes, we do.
Okay. At what age did you train them, expose them to firearms?
At any age, really, that they know right from wrong. My children know we have firearms. I don't hide that fact one bit. I'm an avid hunter, avid shooter, and you know, I have taken them out back and put a jug of water and shoot the jug of water, it explodes. That's what guns do. So that until I'm ready to train you, we know not to touch those. And we go over the safety of those firearms. But then I've taken my children out because they like to hunt and they know dad's interest too. And part of the 7 kids that we have, we just adopt and got legal custody of 2 students this past year, so that made us 7.
Wow, that's a lot. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And now you are lucky because you're not going to get a question because now they've got the video working.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
I thought you might be. So Jeff and Laura are going to talk about reversing school disarmament.
My name is Jeff Staggs. I'm a superintendent, New Cumberstown Exempted Village School District in the great state of Ohio. This is my 16th year being a school superintendent in New Cumberstown, but the fact I'm most proud of will be starting our 8th year of having an armed staff at New Cumberstown. You might ask, how did you begin to have an armed staff at your school? Well, after the Sandy Hook tragedy, I actually had moms come up to me and family members of people in the community and say, Jeff, we know by Ohio law that the board can authorize people who have a concealed carry license to carry a firearm in school, and we want that here. I said, okay. Put them in front of the Board of Education, and that started our journey. At the same time, it started our journey with Buckeye Firearms Foundation and the Faster Saves Lives program. Today, I'm here to represent Buckeye Firearms Foundation and the FASTER program. To date, we have trained over 3,000 educators in 250 school districts across 18 states. We've taught classes in Ohio, Indiana, Colorado, and this past summer in Utah. What does FASTER stand for? Faculty, Administrator, Safety Training, and Emergency Response. The author of the program of the training is John Benner of Tactical Defense Institute. He's the owner and operator, a former retired police officer, a military vet, who taught this program all across the country to the National Association of School Resource Officers. So when you hear the yahoos say, oh, they need to leave that to the experts, or, oh, these teachers, the training, that's not good enough training. We have the exact same training that the school resource officers have that are in schools currently. And then most of the time, our qualification is much higher. But I really want to talk to you today of how FASTER has changed the culture of my school district. I would say before FASTER, I had a fantastic relationship with law enforcement. Our local PD, our sheriff. With their blessing, we sent people to the very first FASTER training. They came back, we presented. We presented the training, the qualifications, and they were 100% on board. So much that our sheriff has opened up his department to us. We train right beside them, we qualify with them every year. And they attended a 3-day FASTER Level 3 class, or 2-day, I'm sorry, FASTER Level 3 class at our school, which is 16 hours of force-on-force training. So we were shoulder-to-shoulder with law enforcement, 16 hours doing force-on-force training. Our sheriff has said if there's ever a critical incident in New Cumberstown schools, and it's still going on when they get there, they're not asking us to stand down. They're asking us to go with, because we now have a brotherhood with them. A couple years ago, I received pictures on my phone, and was from the sheriff department, and they said, can you share these? Chairman, as you see fit, but we would like to know if you can find out who this person is. We had a murder outside our small village, and there were pictures of the suspect. 20 minutes later, we gave him the name. We told him where on the social media page it was wearing the same shirt. It's just that kind of relationship that we have. I never dreamed that would have happened. The other cultural change, we had a critical incident where I had to lock down the schools, disperse our armed staff into four buildings. Now, it wasn't a school shooting, but it was a very serious situation. I'm in the hallway of the elementary school. Elementary teacher comes up to me, shaking, almost crying, trembling, because it was a very serious event. She asked, Jeff, do we have that program? Yeah, you know that program we have? Do we still have that? Yeah, we do. You're safe. Your kids are safe. And just the stress that relieved from her body, she stood taller and went back to her kids. I knew from that second we were doing the right thing. I went to a middle school social studies classroom. And the topic of that day was a history of school violence. And the kids were going back and forth. A young man stands up and said, well, that's why I love going to this school. These teachers here love me and administrators love me because they have an armed staff here. So do the children know we have an armed staff? Yes, they do. They don't know who it is, but we're very open about that. You can't go into a door in our district without a sign saying armed staff on present. So we don't make any bones about it. You're not going to be famous in our district. We're going to take care of business, and that's our promise. We believe it faster, that the faster you can go to an event and stop it, the faster you give medical treatment to the students, the more children are going to live. And how many people here believe it's a right for every child to go to school and be safe? I will say to you, run for the school board. That's how you change this. That's how you bring these programs in. Run for the school board. And that too. We would love to bring this program to your state, to your school, so your children, your school staff, your parents have that same safety as our faster schools. Thank you. It's my honor to be here.
Hi there. My name is Laura Carno, and I run Faster Colorado. In Colorado, we were the first state to fully take Faster Saves Lives from Ohio. A group of folks from Ohio came out in 2017. We are now, I would like to say, completing our third training season, but we actually had to add a Thanksgiving week class just due to demand in Colorado. I'm also a visiting fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. They approached me in January and asked me to come on board to do blogging, op-eds, and media for to talk about gun rights. So IWF.org if you want to take a look at the great work that they do there. So I'm going to talk briefly about what is new in the discussions about school massacres, because the language keeps changing. So three things I'm going to talk about briefly. One is understanding motives. It's not what you think. The second is talking about school resource officers versus armed staff. And three, what are the new frontiers? So first of all, will understanding the motive of the killer, of the school killer, you can extend this to other non-school massacres as well, will that stop them? And I did a whole bunch of research on this that was pretty fascinating. Wrote an article called Understanding Motives Will Not Stop Mass Killings. And here's why. The FBI in 2018 wrote a report that said, actually, it's not the motive that matters, it's the pre-killing signs. And there, somebody earlier talked about the Secret Service report. There are some very similar findings. It's the pre-attack behaviors that are far more significant and predictive than actual motive. And when you think about the Parkland killer, it doesn't matter what his motive was. You can call it whatever you want. The pre-attack behaviors were very consistent. Something like 30-some times in 7 years, police went out to his house. So there's a whole lot behind that. But you also have to think about like the El Paso killer, and that wasn't a school, but he had a motive. He claimed a motive of white supremacy. So what happens after that is then people say, well, we have to go after white supremacists. Well, that's actually, as horrifying as white supremacy is, that's actually not the problem. The background is that there's been a bunch of research done called ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences. There's a great website called ACEs Too High, and it talks about, it takes all of these mass killers and says what's consistent about them. It's not their motive. It's all of these pre-attack behaviors and different things that happened to them in their childhood. So if schools want to do something about changing this behavior, take a look at these kids with high ACEs scores. They've experienced abuse in the home, watched their mother be abused, those kinds of things, and figure out some remediation for those kids if you really want to do something to stop it. As Esther said earlier, get Andrew Pollack's book, Why Meadow Died. That talks a lot about what goes on in these schools. And as a parent and grandparent, think about it this way. Stagg said, run for school board, absolutely. If you're not that person, this is your kid, your grandkid. You are hiring a school, so to speak, hiring a school to educate your kid. You expect your kids to be returned alive every day, so have those conversations with your school. Second, school resource officers versus armed staff. We hear over and over, we'd rather have school resource officers. Okay, and by the way, we're for all of the above. We like school resource officers and armed staff. Set that aside for a second. School resource officers are fully sworn police or sheriff's deputies in your school. And that's great. They can deal with a whole lot of different things. But if there is going to be an active killer, and there have been active killers in schools with school resource officers, they know who that person is, and they are likely going to start their crime as far away as possible from that school resource officer. Even if you have SROs, parents and grandparents, do not let your school board or superintendent say it's all good because we have SROs. We still need, call it undercover, concealed carry armed staff on campus. And don't forget that John Lott's new research shows that no school with armed staff, and this is concealed carry armed staff, has ever had a school shooting. Last is the near frontier of armed staff, and that's churches and homeschoolers. Churches have schools. Schools have churches. They're very intermingled now. Church violence, there's now more church violence than school violence, even though we hear about schools more. We see a lot of crossover. There's probably lots of folks in this room who are on their church's armed security team. Check out an organization called FBSN, Faith-Based Security Network, FBSNAmerica.com. They do for churches what FASTER is doing for schools. But homeschoolers, not only, by the way, a fierce group of moms, in general moms, a fierce group of defenders, they're not only teaching their kids in school, but once a week they go to these co-ops. And guess what? There's a couple of hundred kids in some kind of a room, not a traditional schoolroom sometimes, who are equally vulnerable. So think about that even for homeschooling. So your call to action, know what's going on in your church, know what's going on in your school, and I'm not getting paid to say this, but get Andrew Pollack's book, and as Esther said earlier, buy one for everyone, because parents and grandparents need to know what's going on in their schools, and it's really scary. The people who could turn into school killers need to be stopped. So thank you very much for having me again.